This morning, I'll be reading from Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 6 through 15. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 6 through 15. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. The people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall." And our adversaries said, "They will neither know nor see anything, till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came, and they told us 10 times, "From whatever place you return, they will be upon us." Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the opening, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." And it happened, when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work.
Appreciate Brother Scott reading the scripture readings. Blessing to have young men that are willing and able to work in the service of the Lord. On last week, we have started this month's series under the theme for the year, Waking Out of Sleep and Arising to Righteousness. And we have been talking about things we need to defend. And last week, we talked about defending the gospel. And today, just for a few minutes, I want us to talk about defending the family. The home is definitely under severe attack. I'm not just talking about our personal homes, but I'm talking about the family in general. The family in which God established in the beginning, according to Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 through verse 26, is being under attack. Our society today, unfortunately, don't see that God himself was the one that instituted marriage. According to Malachi chapter 2 and verse number 11, marriage is a holy institution. The Bible demonstrates to us in verse number 16 that God hates divorce. Our society has been attempting to redefine the home. They have been attempting to redefine marriage. Some are even saying that marriage is between male and male, female and female. Some are even going as far now as to marrying their pets. It has gotten that far. Some are attempting to marry even children. Friends, when you get away from God's standard, you can go anywhere you want to. Unfortunately, when we consider our society, we know that our society doesn't always see things the way that God sees them. Some are even saying that I'm married to my partner, even though there is no certificate. The Bible demonstrates to us in Romans 13, verse number 13, with the word chambering or the word lewdness, that it is unlawful to cohabitate. We know that some are even going as far, even in the Lord's church, of living together in a secret way. But friends, it is still not according to the will of God. We, ourselves, our people, our church, our congregation must be mindful of these things. We live in a time now where the man is not really the husband of the wife, and the wife is not the wife of the husband, and the men are not running their homes. We have more children running the house now than anything. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse number 29 as relates to binding the strong man. Now we have the children binding the strong man, and the intruder doesn't even have to break in. Our society is trying to feminize the man and masculize or masculating the woman. We need more men who are willing to be men. Before we even get into our text, just want to give you some more of these introductory thoughts. I'm reminded of what God said about Abram in Genesis 18 and verse number 19, that he knew that he would command his house. I'm reminded of what David said in 1 Kings 2 and verse number 2. He is on his deathbed and he calls his son Solomon, and he told him to be strong, to be a man, and to keep the commandments of the Lord. It's interesting that David likened being a man and being strong to keeping the commandments of the Lord. You remember on one occasion, Joshua said at the end of his life, Joshua 24 verses 14 and 15, we understand that he was calling their attention to honor God, and he stands up as the man of his house, and he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. During the days of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 20, God was looking for a man to stand in the gap. And unfortunately, he says, I could not find one. When we stop and we consider these things, we know that God wants everybody to put up a wall, if you will. It's interesting that computer systems have virus protections. They have a wall. That car that you're driving, that truck that you're driving, has a firewall in it. And the reason why, because inside of that engine compartment, they know that anything could happen when you have spark and fuel mixing together. Anything could happen. So they need something that's going to barricade the engine and the cab, if you will. And so they have a firewall. Our properties, when we have animals, we put fences around them to protect the animals that are on the inside, and also to protect intruders from stealing them so fast or from the outside. Friends, when we consider the prisons have walls, and they have high towers, and they have guards on those high towers to make sure that no one gets in and no one gets out. And the reason why is because they're trying to protect, trying to make sure that no one escapes. Well, when we consider the Church of Christ, in prophecy, in Zechariah 2 and verse number 5, God, the Lord, was going to be that wall of fire. And God is that wall, friends. We stop and we consider these things. We need to keep in mind that God desires for us to make sure that we stay within the confines of his will. So you turn your attention to the book of Nehemiah. And I won't keep you long. Just have a thought as it relates to arising out of Stephen, awakened to righteousness, and our need to defend the family, to defend the cause, if you will. We know we live in a time today where there's a strong influence, and if we're not careful, we can fall into that influence. But we always want to be influenced by Jehovah. We want to be influenced by his people. We want to be influenced by his word. And this is why Paul would say to the Roman brethren, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and being not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the reason why that is so important, because as fathers, as wives, as children, as members of the Lord's church, we are exposed to the word and will of God, at least here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ, every Lord's Day. And we want to be reminded, just like during the days of Nehemiah, that when the people of God were in dire distress, if you will, Here we find Nehemiah, a cupbearer for King Artaxerxes. And he hears about the turmoil and the distractions and the disturbances that is going on in Jerusalem. Here, he's in Persia. The problem is in Jerusalem. And yet, because of the words of Hananiah, he goes to King Artaxerxes. He goes to the Father in prayer. And the next thing you know, he has everything in which he needs in order to go and rebuild the wall, to hang the gates, to make sure that Jerusalem is protected. And the reason why, friends, is because God's people need protection. And this is why we stay with the Word of God. In verses 1 through 5, the family, and the reason why I want to use the book of Nehemiah for principle's sake. I know there is a greater context here, and there's a richer context, but I believe there are some principles that we can draw out as it relates to defending the family, defending the home. Well, Brother Barna, I guess this lesson is not for me. I don't have children. I guess this lesson is not for me. My children are gone. I guess this lesson is not for me. No, this lesson is for you. And the reason why is because if your children are gone, hopefully you have done that which was right. Whether or not they're living right or not, you've done what was right. The older can teach the younger. Friends, that's still in the Bible. Whether you are single and you're looking for a mate, you want to make sure that you find what God desires and not what you desire, or hopefully your desires is God's desires. There's nothing wrong with doing what God says. But in verses 1 through 5, we see some things that are very important. Don't have time to look at all of it, but verses 1 through 5, we understand that the people of God had a problem. They had some enemies, if you will. In verse number one, we have Sanballat. And Sanballat heard about the rebuilding of the wall. He didn't like it. As a matter of fact, he was going to do all that he could to make sure that it didn't happen. But Sanballat had a partner in crime, if you will. In verse number three, Tobias. Tobias had a smart mouth, if you will. And the reason why I say that, because notice what he says in verse number 3. Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." Here, we understand that the smart mouth Tobias was also against the people of God. But we notice something about Nehemiah. Nehemiah being a strong man, a strong leader, and he's going there to help the people of God through this situation. And friends, we need help. We need a mighty counselor. We need spiritual men that's going to step up and help us navigate through this life. Here we find this man of God, he prays to the Father. But notice in verse number six, and then I'll make some more comments here in a second. "So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." Brother Brian, I believe that's the key right there. That the people had the right mindset, that they were willing to work together. Let me say this as it relates to the family. If the family doesn't work together, you're going to have some problems. Now, I understand that this is maybe a sensitive topic. And for this reason, I'm not going to be doing any sweating up here. I'm just going to talk to you. And the reason why, friends, because I know it's sensitive. It's a very sensitive topic. But we have to keep in mind God's system of how he does things. And how when we do things the way that God desires for it to be done, God will be pleased even if all of the parts don't work. Friends, when we consider God's structure for the home, before we get too far into this lesson, the husband, the father, is the head of the house. He's the head of the wife, Ephesians 5, verse number 25. He is the spiritual leader of the home. As a matter of fact, when you think of the spiritual leader, you can put this in parentheses. He is the moral leader of the house. He is the spiritual barometer, if you will. No wonder when we consider the man, and this is why we want our young ladies to marry men that love God and love the Lord and love the Word. Why? Because he is the barometer, if you will. In Luke chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, John the Baptist, Do you know what his job was when he came? His job was to turn the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. That was his job. And guess what he did, friends? He did his job. And guess what my job is? My job is to do likewise as we preach the gospel. What is your job as a father? Is to make sure that your children turn to the Father which is in heaven. And what is your job as a child? To make sure that you listen to your father. I tell young children all the time, young people, if you want to be successful, listen to your father. Listen to your father. Wives, mothers, is to be reverent to their husbands. Ephesians 5, 24 and verse 33. They're to be keepers of the home. Titus 2, verse 5 and 6. There's nothing wrong with women working outside of the home. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. If they can handle their business at home. Children are to concentrate on humility. Listen. Meaning, don't think you know more than your parents. Give your parents your heart. Proverbs 23, 26. Consider your decisions, for you will give an account to them or for them. Ecclesiastes 11, verses 9 and following. Today, we must consider the home, the marriage, as it relates to the mind of Nehemiah. Now, look at verses 6 through 15 as we make application with some of these great principles. The family must work together to build the wall of trust and honesty, morality, to protect the home. These individuals had a mind to work. And because they had a mind to work and listen to Nehemiah, their spiritual leader. And friends, I'm not talking about just Nehemiah, but here he must have won over the hearts of the men. Because all of them began to work together, as we will see later on in the text. Verses 7 and 8, we see opposition will come when we're doing the will of God. You know, there'll be people on your job, young ladies. You're out there working, you have a family at home, and they'll say, why do you do that? Your husband ought to be doing more. You don't have to go home. Hang out with us a little bit. All of us are pulled away by our own lust. Friends, we have to be very careful. And unfortunately, sometimes what we do is we step first and then we ask second. But in verses 7 and 8, notice what the Bible here says. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arab, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the wall of Jerusalem was being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed. Listen to the progress. That they became very angry, all of them. All of them became very angry. They began to conspire together to attack Jerusalem and to create confusion for the people of God. This world does exactly that to the home. There's so many things that are distracting us. There are so many things that are causing us to leave the position that God has placed us in. And friends, there's no greater position than the position of husband, the position of wife, the position of child. There's no greater position than to know that you are the head of your wife and that the wife is to be reverent. There's no greater position. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a young lady at the gym a few weeks ago, and I told her, because she was a stay-home mom and she wanted to go out there and be among people because she doesn't get enough interaction. I said, you have the greatest position. Stay with it. Nothing wrong with you going out there getting a job. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you don't have to, and your husband is providing for your needs, and in the church, spiritual needs, financial needs, emotional needs, oh, stay with it. Keep building that wall. Have a mind to work with God and work with your spouse. You're always going to have those who are going to conspire to attack. Home is under attack. We have individuals that are so distracted that they're tearing down their own wall. They're not even allowing anyone else to do it. Here, verse number 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer to God. Notice verses 9 and verse number 10. I was thinking about this. Immediately, this leader, this great man of God, goes to God in prayer. Every man ought to be praying for his family. He ought to be praying with his family. I know I'm convicting some of us right now. Friends, there's power in prayer. We need to be praying to our Father, which is in heaven. In James 1 and verse number 5, we need to be asking God for wisdom. We need to be thankful to God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 18. The man has a responsibility. Just as Nehemiah, when the opposition came, they were attacking Jerusalem, creating confusion. He says, nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. And because of them, we set watch against them day and night. I love this because Jesus teaches this. Jesus taught this in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Mark 13, verse 33, Luke 21, and verse number 36, and he taught them the principles of watching and praying. It's not enough to just watch. It's not enough to just pray. You have to watch and pray. You have to do both of them. And we need more men who are standing on the tower of their homes. We need more women, more sisters in Christ, helping their husbands to stand strong on the tower of morality. Stand strong on the principles of the will of God and the word of God. Why? Because we have so many things attacking our homes, whether it is through our iPhones, whether it's through our iPads, whether it's coming through the radio, the television. It doesn't matter, the billboards. There are so many things attacking the home. And the last thing you need is the head of a home, who is supposed to be the moral leader, distracted, disturbed, despondent, despaired, deluded. Here we find in verse number 9, this man here goes to God in prayer, but he also sets men to watch. Why is that so important? Because at times there are weak points in the wall. The wall, even though it was built up to a certain spot, a certain height, there were still some points in which the wall was weak. It was too low, which meant that the enemy would come in and hop over. So they had to put men in those particular places in order to stand guard. Sometimes there's some weak points in our homes. Every last one of us have them. We do. It's okay. It's fine. So what we have to do is just be on guard a little bit more. Be vigilant a little bit more. And the reason why is because we want to stay strong until that part of the wall is built up. Notice verse 10. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing. And there is so much rubbish. There's so many things in the way that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, now listen to what the adversary said. They will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them, and cause their work to cease. Notice what they were willing to do to the people of God. The rubbish was actually hiding them as it relates to some type of ambush, some type of barricade. And sometimes if we're not careful, defending our homes and defending our marriages, defending our children, because we can't see properly and see clearly, we allow certain things to come in and they take over. But notice what he says in verse number 12, before you go to sleep on me. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. It made me think about 1 John 2 and verse 14. If we're going to be strong, do you know that it's going to require the word of God? Unfortunately, in Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, Solomon is telling his son Rehoboam, don't lean to your own understanding. One thing I love about these men here, they listen to Nehemiah, their spiritual leader. Guess who we as men ought to listen to? Jesus Christ. our spiritual leader. Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit according to John 16, 7 through 13. The Holy Spirit, he was the one that guided the apostles and prophets, Ephesians 2 and verse number 20. The apostles wrote it down, Ephesians 3, verse number 4. And we can read what they wrote down because they were inspired through inspiration, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. And we can take what our spiritual leader has given us and we can build the wall up, Brother Brian. We can build this wall up and it can be strong. Which means that it's all right that when the wife says, you know, you can be a little nicer to me. Okay. It's all right when you tell your wife, hey, you know, you can pay a little bit more attention to me. You're right. It's all right to listen to the children. It's all right. Children, is more than all right for you to listen to your parents. Because if not, the wall can deteriorate. It can become corrupt, corroded. And here, Nehemiah comes with this great plan, and the adversaries are in mind. And I like this about Nehemiah, Brother Mathis. He didn't allow the adversaries to stop the plan. And sometimes, especially if we're not careful, we allow the adversary to stop the plan. Well, it didn't go my way, so I'm just going to quit. Can I encourage us as men to teach our young men to be men? Please. I said earlier that we live in a society that are feminizing the male and masculinizing the female. Some of our young ladies are stronger than some of our men, little boys. It's true. Men should be men. They do men things. Amen.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with that. We live in a society today where we ought to just leave it gender neutral and let them pick. No. Boys come in as boys. Girls come in as girls. And there's a stark difference between the two. Physically, emotionally. There's a difference. And the Lord's church must continue to say what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 through verse number 6. That in the beginning, God made them both male and female. He sets the record straight.
Amen.
If we're not careful, we will allow the world to think for us. Cut the television off. Turn off the iPads and the iPhones. Turn off the Samsungs. Turn on your Bible. We live in a time today where we are exposed by what man has built. Oh, we ought to go out to some of these country roads and look at the green grass. Look at the trees and the cows. I love cows. I don't have enough room to have one. But I just like to go touch them and look at them. I'm glad I've got some brethren here that got cows. I can just go look at them. Love cows. Now, y'all laughing, but I'm saying this for a reason. Sometimes you can look at what man has built that you don't see what God has created. The Bible is right. So here we have Nehemiah, this man of God. He goes and the people are in despair. And then the enemy is coming in and he rallies up the troops. And notice the text, friends. I'm not smart enough to make this up. Notice what he says in verse number 13. Great application for us. Therefore I, this is Nehemiah, position men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings. And I set the people according to their families. According to their families? Friends, if our families are not important, then what is? There's not a woman more important than my wife. And it shouldn't be. But sometimes men get distracted. And they fall into what is called transference. It's the idea that when someone else has feelings or emotions and you take those in and now, oh, just care for her. No. Not when you got a wife. One man, one woman for life. Here he situates them as families. But he just didn't put a Bible in their hand, if you will. Oh, probably going to help some of y'all NHR people. Or NRH. Anyway, NRA. Notice what he did. I'm not trying to be funny. Listen to this. This is interesting that he does this. So he positioned them on the wall according to their families. And notice, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Notice, he emboldens them. He empowers them. Don't be afraid of your enemy. I told some brothers just the other day, if that man is a false teacher, why should I be afraid? I don't understand when those who have the truth are afraid of those who don't. Nehemiah, the spiritual leader, says, don't be afraid of Tobias. Don't be afraid of Sanballat. Don't be afraid of Gershom. Don't be afraid of what they bring to you. Sometimes parents are afraid of their own children. And the children ain't afraid of nobody. Friends, we got to build the wall back up. We got to defend the home. If you don't have children yet, make up your mind that you're going to rear them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But notice what he says. Don't you be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, in your houses. Friends, he equipped them in verse number 13. He emboldened them in verse number 14. He empowered them in verse 15 and also in verse number 16. I leave you with this. As the people of God, we have a responsibility to defend our families. It is all right for a father to know what their children are in. But you have to build up the wall in their lives of trust and honesty and transparency and consistency. But sometimes we're so busy, we can't see whether we're going or coming. One brother said this to me the other day and I appreciate it. He said, Mike, you can't always be on the grind. You can't always be going. You gotta sit still and meditate. We don't give ourselves enough time to think. Could it be that we don't understand God's word the way that we need to because we're always reading but not meditating? We gotta chew the cud. There's an old preacher named Frank Briscoe, and he's old. He's still alive, though. Sound as a $5 bill. He says, what I like to do is read for about 25 minutes, and in the last 5 minutes, think about what I just read. Oh, can you imagine having a conversation with your wife and your children for 15, 20 minutes? But sometimes the wife don't want to give you enough time to think about what she's saying. Amen. baby, I need some time to think. So you go out there, you mow the lawn. Okay, you come back in. You all thought about what you said. Yeah, okay. Nothing wrong with that. And vice versa. But you have to do that with your children too. They have to know that they're building the wall too. Because one day they're going to have a wife. One day they're going to have a husband. One day they're going to have children. So you got to teach them how to build the wall. You do what I say because I said it. Well, in one sense, that's correct. In another sense, it's not. Tell them why and explain why so they can learn to trust God too. Now, let me say this. Now, this is free. Show them the difference between those things that are spiritual and those things that are carnal. Young parents, when you bring your children to worship, you teach them that this is separate. This is different. They don't need to be bringing their toys here. They need to learn how to make a distinction between God and that which is not God, which demonstrates that all life is not worship. And it's not. Worship is a specific time to God for the express purpose of giving homage and honor, adoration, praise to Jehovah. And when that takes place and the benediction has been said, they can go out there and they can play and run. That's not worship. But if they're playing in worship and then they're playing outside of worship, they're going to grow up and they're not going to see the difference. And you're going to see what you see out here. People playing in worship. So that's why I appreciate some of the older members who have the mentality there needs to be reverence and pray reverence in the Lord's worship. That is right. There has to be a difference. It ain't about the preacher. It ain't about y'all. It's all about Jehovah. And he is good enough to allow us to benefit in that. So we build the wall up properly. Maybe not a child of God. I didn't sweat that much. Amen. Friends, we got to defend the home. And children, you got to help us defend it. The last thing we need is internal fighting. Galatians 5, verse 15. Y'all look at me, please. We don't need that. Mark, you need to be a good husband. Maya needs to be a good wife. And you don't need a lot of arguing in the home. You need cohesiveness. You need unity. You need spirituality. You need morality. And if you're not in Christ, we want you to have that. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And begin building that wall up. Maybe a child of God, you've been allowing everything inside of your house. Friends, we can't let everything in our house. And you can't let everything in your mind. Let's build our house upon the rock of God. As we stand and as we sing to save us every day.